And I'm excited tonight about sharing with you a message out of Luke chapter 13. Tonight I'm going to be talking about the spirit of infirmity. The spirit of infirmity. A number of years ago, I was visiting with a couple at their home, and we were praying about several things, and particularly the issue of fear had arisen. We'd prayed about some health issues, but fear just kept coming up in the conversation. So we began to address that, and it was one of those times where we said, and in the name of Jesus, we just bind the spirit of fear and we command it to leave in Jesus' name. And something happened that was, it startled us all. But as soon as we said that, there was a door that was open to one of the rooms, and it was just, there was no air conditioning going on and off or anything like that. But as soon as we commanded it to go in Jesus' name, that door just went, bam, and closed on its own. And you could just sense the atmosphere shift in the room. Now, I share that with you to say that we live in this material world, this physical world that we use our physical senses to interact with. But around this physical world, there's an unseen world filled with activity. Now, we talk about this from time to time, and this may be new for some that are listening online or maybe perhaps that are here tonight, but we're going to be talking about how spirits can influence and affect people's life, and particularly tonight, we're going to be talking about the spirit of infirmity, the spirit of infirmity, and Jesus deals with a woman who had this spirit, and we find that story in Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 10. Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. This is another occasion when the anointing of Jesus manifested and resulted in a woman's life being radically altered and changed and made whole. And in this instance, he dealt with what the Bible calls a spirit of infirmity. Now let me begin to share some statements with you. First of all, I want you to notice that the Lord will provoke us when our religious ideas become a barrier to His blessings. It's interesting that everything that sets this up is that it took place on Sabbath. For the Jewish people, that was Saturday, from 6 p.m. on Friday after evening to 6 p.m. on Saturday. Sabbath. And their interpretation of the Mosaic law was that that kind of stuff shouldn't happen on Sabbath. It was a day of rest. And so Jesus, on the Sabbath, chooses to do this. And I believe, in part, to provoke what we would call a spirit of religion. Because their tradition, their interpretation of Scripture was such that it became a barrier to the people receiving the blessing that Jesus came to give. Remember, it was in a synagogue that He opened up Isaiah 61. I shared this a little bit Sunday, and preached, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me and upon me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to give recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bound, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That was what Jesus came as the Messiah to do. So now He's doing it, and He's being condemned for healing on the Sabbath. So we'll talk a little bit more about this in a few moments, but I wanted to just point this out, that Jesus will sometimes provoke us to expose how our religious ideas interfere with our receiving the fullness of what He has for us. And it's amazing how many times people can't receive what God wants to give them because they don't believe God wants to give them that. And again, that's where our ideology, our beliefs, can become barriers to the blessings that are available to us. Another thing I want to point out is that our theology had better accommodate the need to deal with sinister supernatural forces. Because that's exactly what's taking place here. Jesus deals with a supernatural force that had bound this woman's life. Drive by any movie theater, read the titles of the movies that's showing that week, and more than likely half of them will be some supernatural type title to do with demons or darkness or evil or spirits. Why? Because the world at large realizes there are sinister supernatural forces out there. There's multiple television programs about ghost hunters and the paranormal, and left and right, channel by channel by channel, it's all out there. But often the church is silent on the subject. And the truth of the matter is, it is Jesus Christ Himself who came to destroy the works of the devil. That's what the Scripture teaches us. It is Jesus Himself that told His disciples, "I'm giving you power to cast out devils." He said, "I'm giving you authority to trample all manner of these evil things under your feet," in Luke 19. So on and on, the New Testament lays it out for us that part of our call, part of our commission, part of what we are to be doing as the church is to confront these sinister supernatural forces. And I understand there are levels and degrees of warfare. There are levels and degrees of dealing with these things. But they are real. So notice that the Scripture is very clear here. It says, "And behold," in verse 11, "there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity." She had what? A spirit. Now, if you start checking out various commentaries, there's going to be different takes. Well, this is just Jesus accommodating the myth of the people of that day in order to articulate the issues. Hogwash. Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, and he would never get into misdirection or error or something that wasn't true to try to make a point or to help someone. The Bible says she had a spirit of infirmity. Not only that, but when you read on, Jesus Christ himself says of this woman that it was Satan who had bound her. So for those who want to interpret this spirit of infirmity, well, that just means her spirit was infirm and weak. No, it means that there was a spirit that was causing weakness in her life. Jesus tells us that it was Satan working through this spirit that caused this woman literally to be folded over. I can't do it. I used to could touch my toes, but my legs kept growing long, and now I can't do it. But this woman was folded over and could not straighten up. And Jesus said that it was Satan that bound her. He was not accommodating the myths of his day. But what we better accommodate is a theology that believes there's sinister forces that can do these kind of things to people. And this is a case where that was happening. We're told the woman was bound, and we're told that this was a long-term chronic issue. It had been going on for 18 years. Do you remember what you were doing in 2006? A lot of stuff has happened since 2006. That was 18 years ago. That's how long this woman had been folded over under the work of Satan through this spirit. 18 long years. That also tells us, it gives us some insight that we don't exactly know her age, but obviously there was a point in time in which this spirit came upon her or entered into her. More than likely something had happened to her. It might have been some type of traumatic event, some type of accident. Some type of mistreatment. We don't know. That's just sheer speculation. But we know that at some time, 18 years prior, she started dealing with this condition, and it was long-term, chronic, painful situation that she found herself in. This also tells us, if Jesus said, should not this woman whom Satan has bound be loosed? Whom Satan has bound? Whom Satan has bound? It tells us that Satan is a literal, real, spiritual entity, a being. Tells us that Satan desires to inflict pain upon people, to torment people. Now, again, we do not know the point of entry into this woman's life. And let me also say, as a sidebar here, this doesn't mean that everyone that has some type of spinal issue has a spirit of infirmity. But it is to say that sometimes that is the case. I will make a general statement that all sickness, all pain, all disablement ultimately is rooted in the fact that we live in a sin-cursed world. Because prior to the curse, there was no death, there was no sickness, there was no torment, there was no pain. When we get to the end of the book, after the restoration of all things and the culmination of the ages and the new heaven and new earth, there will be no sickness, there will be no curse, there will be no more pain, there will be no more sorrow. So all that stuff was unleashed on humanity as a result of sins and the curse, okay? And yes, there are things that choices that we can make, things we can become engaged in that can open us up to the enemy. But not only that, there are things that other people may become engaged in and ways that they may treat a person that causes that person to be exposed to demonic oppressions of certain kinds. And that certainly can be the case. Because Satan loves to inflict torment on people. The Bible says that fear causes torment. So we know it's one of the avenues the enemy tries to create an inroad into people's life to release torment. We also know that unforgiveness and bitterness can bring tormentors into a person's life. Jesus teaches this in one of his parables, how the servant was turned over to the tormentors because he would not forgive, even though he had been forgiven a big debt. So Paul teaches us in Ephesians chapter 5 that our anger, unresolved anger, can become an entry point for Satan. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, lest you give place to the devil. That word place is the Greek word topos. It means to give, it's like a territory, a geographic area. You can give a place in your soul, in your life, for the enemy to set up and begin to operate, create strongholds. And so these things, we don't know the entry point for the woman, but we certainly know the exit. And that came about through the power of Jesus Christ. And that's always the answer. She had this long-term chronic issue. Satan was working through the infirmity. And so there was a demonic influence behind this disablement that she was dealing with. And that is sometimes the case with sickness. That is sometimes the case with disease. That is sometimes the case with mental disturbances, that there can be demonic influences behind it. And, you know, I don't necessarily suggest that you deep dive or do a lot of research on it, but it's amazing the number of people that have committed heinous crimes that are in prisons, whose stories include histories of abuse, of violence that was perpetrated on them in their earlier years, and they in turn perpetrated on others as they grew older. You just see this, how the enemy loves to get to children. How he loves to work through fear, how he loves to work through violence, how he loves to work through anger, how he loves to work through drug addiction. Pharmakia is the Greek word for sorcery. It means to ingest drugs or substances to give you out-of-body experiences and so forth. Those are entry points to the spirit world. Another major entry point for people is dabbling in the occult, seeking spiritual guidance outside the confines of Scripture, outside the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Fortune tellers, necromancers, tarot cards, Ouija boards, seances, all these kind of things are the devil's playgrounds that he loves to entice people and gain entry points into their life. Something that's very popular in our culture is Wicca. Wiccan practices, sometimes called white witchcraft, and there's really no such thing in name only, I suppose, but it's just witchcraft, learning to use incantations and spells and charms and rituals and practices to align with spiritual forces to create havoc in the lives of other people. Witchcraft is all about control. Satanism's all about control. It's about domination. It's about intimidation. It's about manipulation. All of that. So this woman particularly, her issue was a physical issue. Her body was distorted, disfigured, folded over, and we're told she could not straighten up. And so you can't help but have such compassion for someone in that kind of condition. I know on mission trips a lot of times when you go outside the airport, you will see people in conditions like this that are begging alms and so forth. I saw it in Guatemala recently, Mickey and I did, and it just breaks your heart to see that. And so Jesus sees this woman. And another thing that I want to point out here is that the demonic can be behind sickness, disease, and mental disturbances. I've talked about that. And also that believers can be influenced by the demonic. Now notice how I'm wording this. I don't believe the Holy Spirit that dwells in your spirit is going to share that space with any demonic entity. But that doesn't mean that your body and your soul can't be oppressed or vexed or influenced by demonic forces. This woman, we are told, number one, she was in synagogue. Okay? We're told that she is a daughter of Abraham. She was a covenant daughter of God through the covenant God had made with Abraham. So she was one of God's people, and yet she was afflicted and tormented by this spirit of infirmity. And Jesus called her out. He called her to come to him. The next thing I want you to notice is that healing and deliverance ministry often occur together. We see that happening here. He delivers her from this spirit of infirmity, and then she was made well immediately. And that would be the case when the underlying illness or sickness is the result of the demonization. And he recognized that. He discerned it. She had a spirit of infirmity. He called her to come to him. And then he said, "Woman, you are loosed from this infirmity." I think it's interesting that we're not even told where he speaks to the infirmity. He speaks to the woman. "You're loosed from this infirmity." He set her loose from that thing. You see, it's like, did he cast it out of her? No, he set her loose from it. It had a hold of her. And he loosed her from it. It's interesting here, he gives us the illustration. When he addresses the religious spirit in the room, really he's dealing with a lot of bondage in his synagogue. He's dealing with this woman with a spirit of infirmity. Then he deals with the leaders there that are under the influence of a spirit of religion. Okay? But he gives them the word picture. He said, "Listen, you yourself, when on the Sabbath, you'll go down to your barn in the stall where your donkey is or your ox is, and you will loose, you'll open that gate up, and let that ox loose and lead it to water, or that donkey loose." And that's exactly the picture of what he's done. He has loosed that woman from that thing that was keeping her from the blessing of God. Like that gateway was in the way, the obstacle, the hindrance, that so the donkey could get out. Well, He said, you'll move that out of the way so your donkey can get to water. I've moved that infirmity out of the way, and I loosed her from that thing so she could be made well and whole. So this is the power of loosing. You know, the keys of the kingdom bind and loose. They lock, they unlock. And here he looses her from this infirmity. It's this great illustration. It would seem that this demonic influence on her, he says it, Satan's bound her. If you could just see a picture of her being bent over and tied up with ropes, she couldn't straighten up. And Jesus removes the ropes and looses her. He looses her from this spirit of infirmity. And it's just an amazing thing. I remember being called to minister to a woman that had been, she had a physical condition where she had a nerve in her head that went down through her neck, into her back, and through her body that was just absolutely debilitating. She would be in bed for weeks at a time. She had been, she had gone to Mayo Clinic. She had gone to numbers of doctors. They had tried all kind of pain medications. They had like a tinge meter thing on her constantly. And I remember seeing her numbers of times in bed for a few weeks at a time just when this thing flared up. It's just more than she could endure. It's extremely, extremely painful. And I got a call, and she said, I feel like the Lord says that he's going to heal me and you're supposed to come and pray. So I got a friend of mine, and we went and prayed with her. When we started praying, we just had a time of waiting before the Lord. Lord, is there anything you want us to see? Is there anything you wanting to say? Just praying, worshiping. And the Lord showed me a picture of a like a little camper and a little refrigerator. And it made no sense to me, so I told her, I said, listen, I'm just going to say what I'm seeing because it's coming right now, so I'm just going to ask you, does that mean anything to you? And she immediately, her eyes got big, and she said, yes. She said, she took me back to when she was previously married. She had a really bad marriage where she was beaten and abused. And she said, my former husband, he went one time in his little camper, opened up the little refrigerator and got a six-pack of beer out of it and took that six-pack of beer and slammed it against the side of my head, knocked me out. And she said it was after that that all this started. Well, so we sat down and prayed some healing prayers, and I particularly about the trauma of that moment, the fear of that moment, specifically fear, led her through a prayer of forgiveness and releasing and just, you know, in the name of Jesus, you know, be loose from this, be made whole, be healed. Led her through some very specific prayers. And God, after all those years, he healed her. It was a beautiful thing. She started weeping. The pain left. Her testimony months, years after that, it's gone. And it was just a miracle. But it was a deliverance because it was rooted in that traumatic event that had happened to her, all that pain. But when she forgave and then renounced that fear and asked the Lord to bring healing, he just, it was so beautiful, it was so powerful, and in some ways so very simple, but the Holy Spirit just orchestrated that to bring it about. And it's a very, very powerful testimony that she has about that, but that was an example of how healing and deliverance often will work hand in hand. Here we see Jesus spoke it, And then it says that he laid his hands on her. Verse 13. He said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." Notice that. It had attacked her specifically, your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her. And notice he identified, you have an infirmity, but now I'm loosing you from it. He didn't deny she had it, but he loosed her from it. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. I mean, the proof's in the pudding that she's 18 years, these people had seen her week in, week out, coming into that room in that synagogue, and then all of a sudden she's straightened up. Yeah, they're partying the house now, except for the religious folks. They got mad. How dare somebody come in here and end this 18 years of this woman being tormented? It's the Sabbath. I mean, come on, give me a break. Jesus said, "You're hypocrites. You think more of your donkey and your ox than you do this daughter of Abraham that Satan's found." That's the nature of that religious spirit. She was healed immediately. I remember an occasion specifically when the Lord gave me a discernment about a spirit of infirmity that a lady had in a meeting. And it was in a church setting where they really didn't believe that believers could be demonized. And I was praying for this woman was actually over the prayer ministry of the church, but she had had a spinal condition for years, this real terrible back issue. And she came up for prayer. And as soon as I began praying for her, I heard the Lord say, "She has a spirit of infirmity." So the pastor's right there praying with me. And so I said, "You know, I just heard the Lord say, Spirit, can we pray about that?" She said, "Sure." I had her renounce the spirit of infirmity. And then I laid hands on her and prayed for her. And she fell to the floor. And this was got really exciting because she was laying on the floor. I remember this just like it was 5 minutes ago. She's laying there. Her mouth is wide open, just out under the power of God. And the pastor and I bore witness to this. Out of her mouth, without any movement, you know when somebody breathes, they'll go, whew. Her mouth's just open, but without her doing that, a whoosh came out of her mouth. And it was the spirit that left out of her, and then she got up, and her pain was gone. The Lord had just delivered her from that spirit of infirmity. And it was just a real powerful thing that was undeniable. And the proof was in the pudding for her. You know, the pain I had before the prayer is now gone. And she was very, very happy, as most anyone would be. So, yes, healing and deliverance ministry can occur together. Another thing I want to point out is lack of spiritual understanding can blind you to what God is doing. Again, this ruler of the synagogue became filled with indignation. Now, we are a very open to the spirit church. You know, people use labels where they're charismatic, Pentecostal. We love Jesus, open to the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call us. But there are times when God will move in a way that may seem unseemly. It may deal with your dignity. But again, if you had been in the synagogue on the day when this woman straightened up, I guarantee you it wasn't a normal church service. That's often the case where Jesus was going and ministering. Things got stirred up. People got happy. Other things started happening. You know, People would be raised from the dead. The lame would start leaping. The blind would start seeing. These are the things that accompanied the ministry of Jesus. In Acts 10:38, beautiful passage of Scripture where Peter gives a summary to the household of Cornelius about Jesus' ministry. He said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. That's a summary statement of the ministry of Jesus. So I'm just saying here, when you come in this church, Jesus, the name above all names, then if that's what we believe, then the things that Jesus did, we need to accommodate that. We believe that people can be freed from demonization. We believe that people can be healed from sickness and disease. We believe the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We believe there are still signs, wonders, and miracles. We believe there are angels. We believe there are demons. We believe in the unseen realm and that it sometimes manifests into the seen realm. We believe there are inexplicable, unexplainable things that God sometimes will do that defy human logic, that suspend natural law, that are miraculous in nature. We believe these things unapologetically, without equivocation. If it offends someone, I'm sorry about that, but that is what we believe here. We believe this is what the Bible teaches. So we are open to this. We desire to see these things. We invite these things to happen. We want these things to happen because we believe this is part of the full gospel of Jesus Christ. He came to destroy the works of the devil. So a lack of spiritual understanding can blind you to what God is doing. And lastly, wrong interpretation of Scripture can set you at odds with God. We do not want to be in a place where we are rebuked for doing what the Scripture says to do. Laying hands on the sick that they may recover. Casting out demons. Believing that God still speaks. Believing that God may speak to you in a dream. I'm not saying all dreams are from God, but sometimes God will speak to you through a dream. I'm not even saying everything that happens in a church service is always the Holy Spirit. But listen, that's the problem with it, with getting too religious. You can quickly create so many boundaries and protocols and rules that we handcuff the Holy Spirit. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do. So we want to have liberty. We want to have openness. And yes, we want to have order. You know? And so when we're talking about tonight the spirit of infirmity, there are people that are sick, and we want to see more healings happening. We have a monthly prayers for healing service on Saturday morning. But join with me in praying that in all of our services, we'll start. And we've had some awesome things happen this past year. But may there be an increase. May we believe for more. Let's raise the bar and level of our expectation. We are covenant children of God. We are blessed with believing Abraham. You know, we are under new covenant promises. By His stripes, we are healed. We've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. And I wish we could say that we had 100% success rate, you know. But I will say this. We'll see more people healed the more people we pray for to be healed. And you'll see more people set free the more people we minister to be set free. And the church, the church of Jesus Christ, we have been called to healing and deliverance ministries. We've been called to that. That's part of what we're called to. So let's all press in on this regard. Let's fill our tank up with the healing promises of God and the power promises of God. And let's pray to walk in a greater measure of this anointing to see what Jesus' works repeated. He said, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these, because I go to the Father. And he's talking about he would pour out the Spirit. He now has poured out the Spirit. We've had the Spirit. We've received the Spirit. Now we can minister in the same Spirit that Jesus did when he walked the earth. So let's stand together tonight. And I know this is Wednesday night, and I know we're believers here tonight, and there's a sense in which I'm preaching to the choir, but I know you're praying folks here tonight. So please join with me in praying that the water level would rise in the area of the supernatural and healing. And we got people that need breakthrough in the area of healing. We got people that need breakthrough in the area of deliverance. And let's raise the bar. Oh God, tonight we lift our hands to you. And Lord, we declare there's so much we don't know and so much that we don't understand. But you, Lord, you know. You, oh Lord, you understand. We ask, God, that you would grant to us, your servants, boldness. That with boldness we would preach Jesus. That we would minister in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that people would be healed. That people would be set free. That people would be saved. Father, we pray tonight, any need here tonight, Lord, for healing, any infirmity in the room, we just say in Jesus' name, be loosed from infirmity. Be loosed from this sickness. Be loosed from it. Be made whole. I'm going to ask some of our altar workers just to be here for the laying on of hands. If you need prayer for sickness, if you need prayer for freedom, if you have a burden on your heart for someone who needs healing or someone who needs freedom, come up and let's agree in prayer tonight. Lord, I just pray there'd be a release of anointing, a release of wisdom, a release of strategy, a release of breakthrough. That there may be that wall of fire around us and your glory within the midst. In Jesus' name. You come as we begin to worship.